Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the rockin' voice of your local announcer, Tom Fitzmaurice. And it's time now for the food show. Every afternoon, we stop and we talk about food with whom we can ever dig into. What I'm trying to say is to drag you into the studios and tell us all about the things that we found in the restaurants that we have been going to.
We're digging our fork right in.
Digging right for it. You know, that's perfect timing for you to say that. That's Allie Lofton, who you just heard. And she she has adopted us in a strange sort of way. Every week, or near to that, she drops in on our show. She kind of takes over as an extra host to this.
Yes.
And we've done this, I think this is our third or fourth time.
Yes.
And it's been a lot of fun, and we just shoot the breeze about all kinds of items that might pertain to food, about cooking, you know, all the things that we talk about all the time. And I think you have managed to hear already that she is here.
Hi there, everybody.
And also, it should be known as
Oyster Lady.
The Oyster Lady. I wrote it down differently. Oyster Lady.
Hi, everybody. Tom, I am so excited to be here. Every time...
Excuse me.
Everybody, I told Tom at lunch today. We had a fabulous lunch. We're going to tell you all about it later.
Yeah? Yeah, it was good.
It was. Man, that was spectacular, truly. I was telling Tom over lunch that I get so energized. This is the finale, the greatest finale, the crescendo to the end of my week.
Boom.
Because it's such an incredible opportunity. You know, I am of the mindset to be transparent, and I am a bit of a youngin' to the food business, to the food scene. And so Marianne grants me the opportunity graciously to go to lunch with Tom. And
like, that's a real big trade back, or
it,
not much work for that.
Because, y'all, these incredible snippets of history and information come out of Tom's 40 years in this business. And I feverishly write down and sketch, as long as I can get my hands on a pen, on basically any restaurant menu, the different things that we talk about, because it's incredible what just spills out of his mouth about the history.
It's amazing, all right.
And the history and the information of the restaurant industry, but the restaurant industry here in New Orleans. We had a spectacular time. So I always like to start the show thanking Marianne and Tom for letting me come here and just absorb this opportunity.
Oh, you don't have to thank us. You don't have to thank us, but you do have to absorb.
Yes.
Because if you don't absorb...
Where will
then
it go?
Where will it go? That's exactly the words I was about to give you. And here we are, and there they are, and now what?
And Tom, I'm embarrassingly a nerd of this show, and I want to show something to you really quickly. These are the notes that I sketched to myself
all of this is chiseled in stone, ladies and gentlemen.
Y'all, I'm holding up this piece of paper. I have this notebook sheet of paper because I'm such a nerd of the show that I write down questions and ideas that I want to talk to Tom about. And we never get to all of them, but it's so exciting for me. I literally have this kinetic energy just vibrating through my body. Y'all probably noticed it the first time I came on with Tom. I was maybe a bit overzealous. I was a bit overzealous, so I'm trying to tame the zealousness.
Why would you want to detain the zealousness? Wait, what was it?
The zealousness.
I don't know. Do you have an explanation for this?
I think I just get so excited. I'm a history buff, and all this history lives inside your brain. So I get so excited about coming and asking you questions of this sheet of paper you got. It's sketched all over, y'all. But hi, yes, the Oyster Lady, and I'm so excited to be here with Tom.
Would you explain what you mean by the Oyster Lady and go into detail?
Okay, all right.
And I'm going to walk over there to get something I left of it. Okay,
yes.
All right, and then we'll, you know.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Allie Lofton, the Oyster Lady. I have self-coined that name because in my business, which is the ceramic oyster shells, I am out meeting people. Maybe I'm just going to dinner with my husband. Maybe I'm out with friends. And, you know, as we do here in New Orleans, we get to talking. And, we, you know, once we get past the highs, how are yous, how you're doings, we tend to delve into, okay, well, what do you do? And I own the business Loft and Oysters, which is a ceramic flameware oyster shell that we hand make in the city.
This is pretty good, don't you think, folks?
In my warehouse in Kenner.
She's found a way to turn up with shells.
We're just easing the process.
Oh.
That's it. You know?
Do you think oysters have a little too much work to do?
I wouldn't
want to ease them off?
I have to be careful when I say this, Tom, because we do, there are people out there that are avid shuckers, right? They want to shuck.
I don't know how they do it. To me, that is truly hard work.
It really is hard work.
Shucking oysters.
Now, It is rewarding work, right? You get something in the end.
That's
it is
right.
Rewarding work. But it's just to ease the process. Maybe you want to have oysters in the middle of the week. Okay.
Maybe so.
Maybe you want to do that. But the process of doing that with oyster shells that you have to shuck is a little labor intensive. So we have just created a tool in order to make that easier.
A tool.
That's it. The ceramic oyster shell is your vessel.
Mm-hmm.
But it's made of a special flameware. And so that basically means that you can put it directly on the grill.
Mm.
And it can stand up to the flames wrapping around the oyster shell. And the amount of time that they have to sit there in order to get that flamey, char-grilledy goodness, right?
Well, it's something that is not easily achieved because, you know, oysters pretty much resist to anything like that.
Well, they explode because they absorb moisture. Real oyster shells, right? They absorb moisture because they're porous. And that's what makes them fragile. That's why they either crack or they explode or whatnot. And they go flying off. They go flying off the grill, or they lose all your stuffing and your juices. So that's why we have our shells, and we are certainly not trying to take away from the process of people who really do love the process of shucking.
I don't think you'll ever run into too many of those people.
Well, I've met a few.
I'll bet you have. But when you look in supermarkets or help wanted. Almost always, they're looking for oyster shuckers.
Because it's work.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. I've done it, and I know.
So it's just another option to make the process easier. But when I meet people out, and once they make the connection of who I am, which is back to how I got this name, is they usually kind of cock their eyebrow and snap their fingers, and they say, oh, yeah. You're the Oyster Lady. So I was like, okay, fine. I'm the Oyster Lady. So I'm Allie, the Oyster Lady.
Any of those.
Here with Tom Fitzmaurice, Mr. Food, who
we've fooled another one here, folks.
Who's been known as that for quite some time. And Tom, I'm going to be a nerd, and you stop me whenever you want. But
okay.
I have questions for you, I normally do. Because
normal questions, ladies and gentlemen.
I am interested in your input on these things. But I wanted to ask if there is anybody out there that is a new listener. Okay, I love our regulars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I love our regulars. I love Greg. I love Gregory. I love Steve. I love Steven. I love hearing from all these guys.
That's quite a list you have there.
Yes, Ron, the gourmet waiter. I know what's
up,
Ron.
Listen to this.
I know you're listening.
We have somebody who listens to our show and actually pays attention to it. Wow. I mean,
so,
this is very impressive.
I love our regulars because they have a vast amount of knowledge in this city. Ron called in, I think yesterday, and was talking about shrimp at Restaurant
Depot. That's right. We were.
And Ron, yes, I agree with you. But if there is anybody out there that's a newbie, maybe you just found us.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you just moved to the city and you're trying to like really absorb, you know, the food scene, and you found Tom and you started to tune in. Call us and introduce yourselves.
Sure. Why not? I mean, and what we do around here, it's free, you know, of course. And it brings a lot of pleasure to your eating and dining and dining out and all that. But particularly if you're going to get the shucked oysters, and you then need to have something to cook them, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And these things really do that job.
They do.
I think I've got a dozen of them.
You do?
And how'd you know that?
Because I gave them to you.
Well, that would explain it. Yeah. So you have these ceramic oysters, and you put them on kind of a rack-looking thing, and then into the oven. And you put the oyster juices and also the...
Or on the grill, firing up the grill.
Yeah. And away you go, and it comes out at the other end just perfect.
So
and
I want to hear if anybody is out there that just found you, that just started listening to you. I want you all to call up and introduce yourselves. Who was the lady?
I think I found him. I think he's this guy.
Tom's going to do multiple voices. He's going to pretend to be different people. Who was the lady that called yesterday about the granola? I thought that was a great recipe.
That was an interesting recipe.
I don't remember her name, though.
I never...
Hey, gal who called and gave the granola recipe. That was fabulous. I'm going to start putting cashews in mine.
It was an interesting idea. I've never thought about putting anything like that together. I mean, to me, this was something you open the box, you eat it, period.
Yeah. Well, but not... I loved the idea. She gave the recipe. She talked about, you know, not having maple syrup on hand to you know, flavor or season, you know, the grains with. And she talked about putting cashews in them. And I've never put cashews in mine before. So I thought that was great. So I'm just saying, if there's anybody out there that's a newbie, call in and introduce yourselves. Let us know what you've been loving to listen to. Let us know what you'd like to hear more about. I'm about to delve into some things I've been sketching out all week for Tom. Because I think, and this first thing I'm going to bring up, Tom, because I'm interested in.
I have a piece of paper to match you off.
I have outlined it, expectations and etiquette. Dining etiquette.
Oh, you know, we have a whole book of etiquette around here. It's actually, it's not around here. It's been my studio at home.
Oh, okay.
But it's the rules and regulations as far as what was her name? Who? Oh, Miss Manners. Did you ever see her book?
No.
Oh, you got to get a copy of it.
Wait, Doug, why can't I hear you well? I want to hear you better.
yeah. But anyway.
It's called Miss Manners.
Miss Manners. And she tells you, it gives you all the accepted.
Okay, well, maybe you have her, maybe you remember some of her things, but I want to tell you some of the scenarios that I have been, I have experienced lately.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested how your approach to this would play out. And if anybody's out there and they hear, you know, they're listening to these items and you have similar experiences, let me know. Because
nobody does any etiquette at home and anyway.
No, there has to be.
Excuse me, I'll get that out of there.
There has to be. Okay. So the first one is I'm cooking at home for a couple of friends.
Yeah.
Okay. And this thing actually happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
I was cooking fish. And my husband and I felt that we didn't cook it precisely to our expectations. Okay.
Yeah. And what made you say that?
Well, we felt like we overcooked it.
You could throw it through a plate glass mirror.
No, we felt like we overcooked it. It was flounder.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
we felt like we overcooked it. Okay. So, right. So, it cooks fast, right? Not a lot of fat, so it's going to cook right up. And it's a flaky fish. So, we felt like we overcooked it, and we were cooking it for friends. What is the appropriate response? Do you throw yourself into the sacrificial pit and tell them that they're not, it's not cooked to your expectations?
Yeah.
It's not cooked to your standards.
Mm-hmm.
In case they indeed feel that it is also not, because we're food people, right? We're trying to do the best job we can. So do you throw yourself into the sacrificial pit and admit?
I don't understand. The sacrificial pit.
Like, you own up to it. Hey, guys, I think we screwed this up.
Oh, no, absolutely. If you have to do that, you just tell them. So I'm sorry about this. I walked away for 2 minutes. You know how shrimp can be. And they were just like just a little dry. I don't think you'll mind, though. Here. And I put a little extra sauce on it.
But do you think you're setting yourself up then at that? Oh, do we have to go to break?
No, heck no, no. No, no. Everything's fine.
Okay.
Just
so,
keep going.
So, but what if it's okay for their standards. And now you're priming them and basically like getting them worked up to think that it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
What if you just keep it to yourself and maybe they'll like it?
No, I would always say because somebody is going to be thinking it, and they're going to be they're going to say, oh gosh, I say, beat them to the punch and say, hey, listen.
Tom, are you honest to a fault?
Am I who?
Honest to a fault.
I'm always honest.
I felt like Marianne.
To quote my wife, actually, she never said this, but she should have. What was your original?
Are you honest to a fault?
Okay. Uh-huh. Her line would be, Tom, are you honest? Yeah, that's just a joke to everybody. And I can't help it.
Because remember she and I... We're talking. We were talking a conversation that she had brought up about walking into a place and feeling like it was dirty.
Right. I'm going to ask you to put that on hold for a second because
holding it.
We have to take a moment here of this and that, and then more of the food show follows. So stay tuned. Thank you. You know, I would scat sing all day long if I could, but of course, numerous people will make sure that I.
It's not really a language that we can communicate in, but I do like it.
Louis Armstrong was pretty darn good at it.
He was.
Oh, the best.
Hey, everybody.
All right, let's see. This is the food show, and joining us today, and we're very happy that she is here, Allie Lofton, also known as the Oyster Lady, and what she does for you. And I know if you do oysters at home, if you do grilled oysters or any other kind of oysters, really, and you're looking for an easier way to do it, listen to this. This is just great. You buy a set of these things. I think they start off at, what, 8 of them?
You get 12.
12, okay. Mm-hmm. And you get your dressings and your sauce and your toppings. You put all your oysters into this thing. You've shucked them, of course, but you put them with the top open, and then you put some of your sauce in there, and then you shove the whole thing into the oven. Pretty hot, huh? Would you say about 375 or thereabouts?
Oh, hotter if you really want to char. If you like, if you want to broil it,
500.
Like I would kick on the broiler to do the cheese. Like if you're gonna, top with the cheese and you want to get it all crispy and crunchy, because typically your sauces are already cooked.
Yeah.
You know, they don't need extra cooking. You're just trying to kind of char your cheese on top. You just throw them under low broil.
Yeah.
And just broil them for 8-10 minutes maybe and get everything all nice and gooey and charred. And then you're ready to go. You're getting down to business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the beginning of it.
But I was asking Tom.
Tom, I'll go get him.
Yeah, no. Yeah. no, I want to talk to this Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Before we went to break about etiquette, dining etiquette, and I was explaining that I had a situation at my house where my husband and I felt like we had slightly overcooked our fish.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked Tom what the appropriate response would have been, or you know, are we supposed to tell them, like, explain that we felt like we slightly overcooked it, maybe it's not the best of the best that we could offer, but you know, our sincerest apologies. And Tom said, yes, tell them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to be honest.
Well, sure. I mean, I don't think there's any advantage in saying, oh, look, this is just some fool's idea of a joke on me. And so, you know, just no, you have to tell what has happened. In
but maybe their expectations aren't your expectations. Well, maybe they would think it's great.
They're probably not. They're probably going to be like that to begin with.
Has this ever happened to you?
No.
That somebody
put something
that you've messed
that,
up.
That oh, I've all the time. All the time. No, really.
At first, I thought you were saying that you're perfect and you never messed up
a
dish.
I would be the last one to do that. And
you've owned up to it. And you're like, listen, guys.
Yeah, well, what else? You know, you just can't.
I think I've messed this up.
Oh, well. I definitely move on and tell everybody, hey, I did this.
I think I'm going to lie.
You think you're going to lie?
I think I'm going to try.
No, I don't think that, you know, they're going to get catch up on you sooner or later. So you may as well go ahead and do it.
Fine. Okay. Well, all right. No. So you're going to be honest and you're going to throw yourself onto the sacrificial pit,
mm-hmm,
and tell them, hey, I think I messed this up, guys. I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
Should we have a caller?
I don't know. Do we have a caller? Yeah, we do, actually. Alan, welcome to the food show.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Allie, nice to meet you.
Alan, how are you?
I'm doing well. Marianne calls me the gourmet transplant, I think. I'm up here in Seattle.
Yes, in Seattle.
Yep. Marianne has a sister right outside of Seattle in Bothell.
Yes.
I better not give any more info because I don't want people, you know, bugging her. But no, I'm kidding. I don't know where she is in Bothell. But I'm calling because I agree with Tom. Do tell people. And it happened to me. Fortunately, it was.
Tell us what happened.
Well, the audience was just my wife. And she does have high expectations because I usually do a very good job. She loves my cooking.
Oh, well, lucky you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she doesn't like when I fry oysters.
What do you use? What's your combination? I'm curious. Do you use like a cornmeal or a breadcrumb? What's your preference?
It's called Louisiana brand. And
yes,
being up here in Seattle, there's a place that sells it. So you're familiar with it?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I change it up a little bit. I do add a little more cornmeal to it. I use that as a base. And
we
then
add
I
to ours as well.
Stuff. Yeah. But it works out very good.
So what happened?
Well, back to the fish dish. I overcooked it. It came out mushy. It was mush. It was, yeah.
Don't you feel like it's different with your wife? Don't you feel like you have to own up to her and be like, I screwed this up, baby?
Oh, I'm going to be, yes, totally, yeah. I said, Gina, I overdid it, you know, I overcooked it. That said, well, and then, of course, you know, we ate it.
Of course you do, right? Because you're not buying something else after you just spent all that work cooking.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the consistency, the flavor was still there. It's just like, oh, it's just a little, you know. I probably disliked it more than she did, but
okay, Alan, what if you're cooking for friends, though, and it's not your wife who you've been married to for 30 years that you know is going to call your bluff? What if you're with somebody and, like, maybe their standards aren't your standards?
I would have a plan.
That's a given.
I would have, especially with fish, I would have a backup.
I think that's a legitimate.
Oh no, I gotta get better then. I gotta do better, Alan.
Well, let me say a backup for me, I always have pretty good leftovers.
Okay.
From a night or two before.
That's a fair statement. Okay.
Yes. For example, yeah, I made a shrimp Creole, and that lasts 3 or 4 days. But I'm going to still cook a night or two after I make the shrimp Creole. So I will have leftovers. I even said to Jean, I said, you know, we do have some shrimp Creole in the fridge. And she said, no, it's not that bad.
She was nice about it.
She was very nice about it.
That's a good partner.
And let me say, I bought your shelves, your ceramic
shelves.
You did?
Have you used them yet?
I did.
Okay, please give me your honest opinion. I'm always looking for feedback.
Well, let me just say it was very good. I did it in the oven under a high heat for,
yes,
like you say, about, it must have been close to 10 minutes.
Okay.
And I did nothing special. It was Parmesan cheese, a little olive oil, butter, parsley, and garlic.
Okay. And are you using West Coast oysters?
That's all I can get.
Okay,
Yeah. And Pacific Northwest oysters. Well, I agree with Tom. There's nothing like Gulf oysters.
Aren't they a little sweeter? Aren't Northwest Coast a little sweeter?
They are. They vary in size. You can go to the market, seafood market, and get. They come as medium size, large. No, medium to me is large, and extra small.
But okay.
Just those two, though. Either extra small. The extra small work for me. They fit very nicely into the ceramic shell.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward. We're having, believe it or not, it rains a little bit up here in Seattle.
No kidding.
even though we had a glorious summer, summers are always fantastic up here. Beautiful weather. So as soon as I have I think it's not supposed to rain tomorrow, I'm going to bust out the grill and
throw those babies on there.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I'm looking forward to that.
Look on our Pinterest page for some different recipes.
Your what?
Our Pinterest page.
Pinterest?
Pinterest or our website. Pinterest is like a food pin board for recipes. Mm. Or our website, Alan. We have some incredible different kinds of recipes if you're looking to kind of like mix things up. We have the traditional ones too, Bienville and Rockefeller and Drago style. But we also have some excellent ones that are with sriracha or chipotle adobo peppers. So if you're looking to kind of like kick it up a notch, if you like spicy, there's some really good recipes. But I would love, love, love your feedback on how they work for you.
I'll do that. Mm. Matter of fact, your shelves came in a beautiful brown burlap bag.
Yes.
And there was a little tag in there, and I think it gives the website information.
It does.
So I've set it aside, and schools, I work in a school, so I've been busy since the kids are back and everything. But I'm going to do that probably this weekend.
Excellent.
But
Thank you so much, Alan.
Oh, you're welcome. It was great to be able to talk to you. And hey, Tom, it's
always
a pleasure.
Huh?
I sound like some of these guys from the old days when they call and say, well, all right then.
All right then. That was how you said goodbye on our show. No, for a long time. And it was a lady who at the end of the call, she says, all right then. And then she would hang up.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we have to go all right then because Doug is forcing us now. We got to go.
It's about time.
Yeah. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you.
Cheers, man. Happy Friday.
Hello there. Welcome back. It's The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. We have an unusual show today. It's one we've been doing every week or so for a little while and having fun with this. Allie Lofton here. She also goes as the
oyster
lady. And we are learning not just how to do the oysters in those gizmos that they sell, which are basically like real oysters. They're certainly the same shape. They take the same kind of heat. And you can put it in the oven, and you get these, you know, like the grilled oysters you now see everywhere. Everywhere you go, they're making grilled oysters. And here they are, and here's a way to do them yourself. And if you want to know about this, give us a call at 260-6368.
Yeah, Alan, thanks for calling in, Alan. I know they're 2 hours ahead of us over there in Seattle, so he's probably still wrapping up his school day. I think he's a school teacher. But thank you, Alan, for calling in. And if you're a new listener out there, call us and tell us what
you'll
you've
be surprised at just how ridiculous this show is.
Yeah, so, really. You know what? But it's ridiculously fun because I have an absolute fabulous time listening to you and Mary Ann during the week.
It's me and Mary Ann together or something, huh?
It really is. You guys crack me
up.
You
would think after all these years,
There's still a sparkle of laughter and fun.
I'm happy.
So, wait.
She's not. No, that's just a joke.
Okay, so we've been talking about expectations and etiquette when dining.
Right.
And
Can I add one to this?
Yes.
Okay.
Please.
To me, the worst one of all is you go out to eat somewhere or you go to somebody's house and they have some Oysters Rockefeller.
Yes.
Something good and hot. Nice gumbo.
Yeah.
Nice steamy gumbo.
Yeah.
Entree, this will be a rack of lamb.
Okay.
Okay. And all of this put together. And
it's quite a feast.
You're sitting down, and the waiter in this case, because let's just say it's a restaurant, but it could be somebody's home. All of a sudden, the entire production of this is dumped in front of you.
Okay.
And you have to decide, and this is how I put it to the waiters. I say, okay, explain this to me. We have here the orange orange juice-based duck, and we have the green onion banana, and we have, and just a couple of other things.
Okay.
And I say, okay, now which one should I allow to get cold first?
Oh, so you're talking about bringing food out all at the same time.
All at the same time, which drives me crazy.
Yes.
It messes up so much good food.
Right.
It doesn't cost anything extra to do that.
Okay, great point.
And not a lot of care. But, sometimes I think that both kitchens and front of the house people, they don't have a sense of this.
That's a great point.
Yeah, I think it is.
It is because isn't, I don't know, you and I were having this conversation a couple of weeks ago.
We've already talked about this before?
No, at lunch we were talking about this.
Yeah.
And the point of the conversation, the focal point of the conversation, was that going out to eat, especially here in New Orleans, is about the experience. Why would you want to condense the experience by bringing all of the food out at the same time, which, could be just exceptional, but when it's cold food, it's not. So why bring it all out at the same time versus bringing it out dish by dish, on a mousse bouche with the appetizer, then your entree, then your dessert. You're supposed to extend it because the point of dining out is to have this great experience of food over time and conversation and drinks if you want to have drinks. To bring it out all at the same time is kind of to just take away from the whole experience in general.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I'm completely with you on that.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of an expected etiquette understanding.
Yeah, it says in some restaurants, it's something that, somebody must have told them about this at some time, the manager of the place. But what does that tell you about the place?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's at this moment in the show. Actually, it's usually much sooner than this. When I tell our hosts something that I should have told you at the very beginning, and that is we have that clock right there.
Mm-hmm.
You see what time it is. We, for some reason, only have that one clock in this room. And it's the nature of radio that you need to know exactly what time it is all the time.
That clock is telling us
to
do.
That clock is telling me that it's 34:04 for 36. But anyway, we don't care about that too much. What I do care for is if you see me looking up at there, up there at all the time, please don't take it as an insult, because when I do that, it's the only, I'm just finding out what time it is, and
you know what that clock tells me?
What?
I have a whole hour and 15 minutes with
hour.
You.
Well, gee, how will we ever do that? Well, we'll figure it out one way or another.
Well, because on my list here,
yeah,
of all my nerdy things that I'm interested in asking you,
yeah,
is okay. I have another scenario. So, folks.
Ooh.
What we've determined is that you're supposed to be honest,
mm-hmm, yeah,
with your guests that eat at your house. If you feel like you've messed up a dish, and Alan offered a great solution. He says he always has oysters, he always has leftovers that, mm-hmm, he offers if he screws up a meal.
Mm-hmm.
And he's honest with his wife if he's messed up. And I feel like Kyle and I are always honest with each other. Are you honest with Marianne when y'all have been cooking and you've messed something up? What if you messed up your ham?
Oh no, I would own right up to that. The last one we did.
Didn't you do one when all the family was in town?
Yeah.
Okay.
And one of the people who was cooking stuff decided that my ham was not cooked enough or something. And,
okay.
And it was indeed, you know, just it's exactly the way it should be. And
okay,
it looks funny because you do that root beer glazed ham, and it gets to be black on the outside. It's,
yes,
just the nature of the thing. And so they turned it back up again, and it just got totally dried out.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I guess you could blame that on yourself or find somebody to blame it on.
Yep.
All the talk about worrying about these things, sometimes I wonder if it's even worthwhile.
Okay, so we're going to go with the, yeah, golden rule, which
golden
is to be
rule.
Honest.
Yeah, okay.
So we're going to be honest. All right.
I honestly got to tell you then that we have to answer the phone.
Oh, okay.
And it's Sal on the phone over here. Sal joins us over here on the green phone. Sal, you still there?
My favorite caller. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Hi,
well,
Sal.
Thanks for taking my call, and it's great to hear y'all. You know, one of my big pet peeves, and it happened last week, and I am going to talk to the owner because we're pretty regular over there, but
mm-hmm,
I'm not going to say who it is or,
yeah,
where it is.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my pet peeves, in addition to all of the courses being brought out at the same time,
yeah,
rather than,
yeah,
appetizer first, then salad, then blah, blah, you know, in the right order as they become fresh,
mm-hmm,
is when they bring each of the people at the tables same course at different times.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Great point.
Which is what happened to us last week or a week or so ago anyway, and I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, but it was like, all right, we realize the manager or the owner's probably not there, so we're going to wait till he's there, and we're going to go talk to him, and, you know, cats away, mice will play kind of thing.
Yep.
And as my dad always said, a business can't run itself. You have to be there to run it and manage.
Boy,
it.
Boy, isn't that the truth. I feel that.
Make
I feel that
sure
in my own business.
That quality and service is always up to your standards, not the person who you're
right
paying
so
the
you're supposed
to
jointly be experiencing each of these dishes at the same,
yeah,
time, so everyone can stay the same pace.
We share too.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it's not just about enjoying it at the same time, it's about enjoying each other's entrees,
yes,
or appetizers,
mm-hmm,
or whatever we have.
Yep.
And that's just what I wanted to add to that, because you're right. When they bring out the salad and the appetizer and the entree at the same time, you're right, Tom. The question is, which one do you want me to let get cold?
Yep.
That's it.
Or which one do you want me to let get, you know, whether it's a cold dish that's getting warm or a warm dish that's getting cold. You give me the choice, and I'll do it for you. Usually that sends a signal.
I'll be in touch with you the first time it happens. I will.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Everybody's looking at me like I'm being weird.
No. It's true.
And
what do you let happen, Sal? What's...
Yeah, and as I mentioned to Marianne and Tom a couple of weeks ago, and I think you called in as well that day, there's always a tactful way to say something.
You all are better at this than me then. I think Marianne and I said that we were just Yes, it was you. You guys have it, though. Like, you know, this grace about
you. It doesn't always have to be you, but chances are there is someone in your party with some, I don't want to say that you're not courageous or diplomatic, but more courage and more diplomacy that may have a little knack at doing it. And
our producer, Doug, just said, what was that word? Abrasive.
That's me.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that was you.
No, that's me. That's my personality.
Well, I would never have guessed that.
No, Sal. Yeah, listen, it's
why
you
you're such
though.
A great business owner,
it's you, and it's your delivery. When you called, you mentioned the carpet. It was Marianne asking about things that are off-putting, like you walk in and something is like not right. You mentioned and Marianne and I said we would just make up a lie and leave. And you and I think Gregory and Tom said, no, there's a diplomatic way to deliver this. And it is the delivery that is.
But even as a business owner, I think even you would agree that the business owner would rather hear about it than not.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I take feedback all day. Just like Alan called in earlier and I was like, really, be honest with me. I don't care that we're on air. I am always looking for ways to improve my business. I'm always looking for things that I can do better, because if you don't do better, you don't evolve.
True.
That's just it.
Let me ask you a question while we're on the air
while
I have you on the phone. What restaurants use the product that y'all sell? Because I don't know if I'll be able would ever be able to tell the difference between a real oyster shell or a ceramic.
Well, if you saw ours in person, Sal, ours so clay body is naturally red. It's an orange.
Okay.
It's an orange, almost a burnt orange look, a burnt orange color.
Right.
So the back side of ours, because we don't use any coloring, we don't use any dyes. That's what makes our shells all food safe.
Okay.
So the back of them is burnt orange. You know, natural looking oyster shells are gray. Well, they're gray because they reflect the composition of the nutrients in the water.
Right.
That's what makes them look that color.
And correct me if I'm wrong. It's not allowed to reuse an oyster shell, but they can use the oyster shell in which the oyster originally came.
Correct. 10 years ago. Opened. So restaurants in New Orleans did do that. And about 10 years ago, the CDC cracked down on that.
Wow.
And
all
of the food inspectors started going around and saying, hey, no, this is a natural living organism. You can never get rid of the bacteria. It doesn't matter what you do, how you do it, when you do it, how long you do it. Once bacteria is a living, growing organism in something naturally, you can never get rid of it. So they started cracking down.
I remember when
it's important.
All of that happened some years ago, and going to Antoine's and having them have to tell me, we just can't do them right now. You can't bake the oysters Rockefeller in the shell.
And actually, Sal, you bring up, so you all asked a question, I think this week or last week on the show, Tom. So oysters, remember the guy who called in about the Oyster Fest up north, his festival?
Yeah. The guy, it was one guy.
He couldn't carry Gulf oysters.
That's right.
Okay, here's why.
Well, he didn't know. It wasn't anybody leaning on him. He said
the business couldn't.
The business couldn't. He it was his, and what this was a competition of eating oysters, cooking oysters, all this, and Grand Central Station is where it was.
Yes.
In the oyster bar there, which is down there on the third floor, second floor, I think. And it's quite a place, but they were having this big competition. And so they had to be very careful about
so
their...
Here's the real behind that.
Oysters?
Yes, so this is why.
They said that Gulf oysters are completely infected with something... that lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Okay, so here's the behind the scenes of that. It occurs during the summertime when this bacteria is at its peak in the warmest waters of the Gulf. And so the seafood distribution companies here down in the South have a window of time. And Sal, it starts in May and it ends at the end of October. And they grade their oysters. They grade them A, B, C, D. And A oysters means that they have been pulled out of the waters immediately and refrigerated, which means they can transport them to the north or wherever, immediately refrigerated, ensuring that the likelihood of this bacteria growth is at its absolute smallest. And then as you go up in the grades, B, C, D, that means that they've spent a longer time out of the waters, only during the hot summer months, mind you, okay? This is the key. Only during the hot summer months is this implemented.
So we're kind of going back to that old wives' tale of not in any month without an ark.
Depending on how far they travel. That's the key. So if they're local here in New Orleans, right, they just pulled them out of the waters here.
That's it.
They travel super quick. They're refrigerated super quick, and they go right to the restaurants.
On the oyster boats as soon as they come up, too.
Correct. Yes. So I actually just learned this while I was doing interviews with the different seafood distribution companies here in New Orleans who wanted to carry our shells. And this is what they educated me on this about 4 years ago. And I thought it was incredibly fascinating, but it's May to October. And it's because the distance in which those oysters have to travel once they're removed from the waters increases the likelihood of this bacteria growth. So
that makes sense.
There is the answer, y'all.
Yeah.
It's tough for our oyster fishermen, but it's decent.
Well, you know, the oyster fishermen are doing pretty well now, mainly because of, all of what's going
but
on in the lake.
But when you cook them, it doesn't matter, right, Sal?
Right.
Because you're cooking them. That's it.
One more thing?
Sure.
I have been to the West Coast, and you have eaten at a place in right north of the wine country called John Ash and Company. It's a really nice restaurant that my wife and I went to on our honeymoon several years ago. And I've tasted the oysters out there. We're used to, and we consider great, what we become used to and what we grow up on. But I will say that there's a sweetness and a different flavor.
Yep.
And I wouldn't say better or worse.
Just different oysters.
And what they do is they bring it out in a really neat presentation on a rack, almost like what you find in the barbecue shops, which you put oysters on to do. And it's a tiered rack, and they'll put them on different tiers. You've seen it. So, and you get a dozen oysters, but you get two of each of six different species.
Oh, I've
of
seen
oysters.
Those. Yeah.
And
yes,
all
I love
of them
it.
Have a different flavor, and you know, we also went. We took our older boys about 7 or 8 years ago to Washington D.C. And there's a place called Hank's Oyster Bar in D.C. And of course, those are East Coast, Chesapeake Bay and different parts of the East Coast, they did the same thing. They bring this tiered up rack with about two or three different of the same species until it makes the dozen or two dozen or whatever your table wants to eat. And each of those species have such a different flavor. And it was just really, my first experience was California, but then when we went to D.C., it was such a great new, different experience to see that so many different species of oysters, because I always thought an oyster was an oyster.
Hey, Sal, are you local? Like, do you live local here?
I do.
Have you been to Seaworthy?
Seaworthy.
It's in the Ace Hotel. Tom, y'all have been.
Oh, yeah. That's an oyster.
Seaworthy. It has oysters from East Coast and West Coast. Phenomenal.
Really?
Hit up their happy hour, 3 to 6. You're going to taste all varieties.
It's
incredible.
Good.
Thanks for that, Allie. It's time for the news.
So we're going to come back. We have more of the food
show. Thank you, Sal.
I don't know if we'll have more of this oyster stuff, but we might. You never can tell whenever we get started.
It's your favorite topic, Tom.
It is my favorite food, and we'll be back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.